Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our conversation continues with Rear Admiral James Shannon, commander of the Naval Surface Warfare Center. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Kevin Green. Admiral, let's transition to the future. What new technologies or trends in information technology do you see the Navy adopting in national security systems to benefit the future?
The trend in technology has a lot to do with computers and the computing base. In terms of national security and defense, the term you're hearing a lot is called cyber war. We really need to get our hands around that. And that was something I alluded to earlier in the radio show when we were talking about 10th Fleet and what they're trying to do there. But we really know, I think, in the future that the personal computer is going to become smaller, more people are going to have access to a computer. And then you hear that term cloud computing going on, where computers will be less of a tool and there will be more of a portal to the information that's out there and controlling that information. And the volume of data and information is something that really nobody fully has their hands around, and being able to control that volume will be really important. So what technologies are going to be out there to power those sorts of things, and how can we use that technology in warfare systems? You have to look at power and electricity. How are you going to make that system work? Is it going to be used solely with batteries, or we've tapped out on batteries and we have to look at other forms of energy, such as the sun or heat or just motion? And then when you look at how you can use it to your advantage, how can a potential adversary use that against you, such as motion being used to power a system to defeat you? It's passive all the time, and all of a sudden your motion makes something happen. We're going to have to really get our hands around that type of thing. And of course, we have to look at energy in the form of conserving energy. That's a major initiative in today's Navy. And I referred earlier in the show about the Great White Fleet. I think we're going to hear something about the Great Green Fleet in the future with Secretary Mabus. He's really challenged us in our community to come up with ways to conserve fuel and energy, because the cost of fuel and energy is so great that it's hurting our ability to get underway and to train. As anyone who's gone to sea knows, you have to be at sea to really become experienced at that business. You can't be good at it if you're always tied up. So we have to figure out ways to be efficiently get our fleet underway to do the missions that we want to send them on. There's a lot of challenges there. Autonomous systems, you see that in today's fight with what's going on with unmanned aerial vehicles, other autonomous vehicles, robotic systems. We're doing a lot in that now, but we have to look at nanotechnology. And those are all the areas that where I'm trying to shape the discussion.
Can I pick up on the green aspect? Are you folks adding that to your portfolio specifically, or is it just something that's understood in the way you operate, that you've got to go in that direction?
Oh, no, it's definitely in our portfolio. The big thing going on today up in the Philadelphia at our Warfare Center up there is the electric drive. We're looking at how to apply electric drive on our ships. We'll be doing that in the not-too-distant future, and it's a way to cut down on fuel.
The evolution of warfighting has undergone historic shifts within the last decade alone. What other shifts do you anticipate in the military in the next decade, and how do you envision your role in office shifting to adapt?
Well, I think we're in the right place in the warfare centers and adapting to this. One of the things that we're really looking at is hypersonic technology and directed energy systems such as lasers. Certainly, there's been a lot in the press over the past 10 years or so with regard to directed energy and how to use that, but we need to understand it better. I think technology is really gone fast and far. We're seeing where we can actually start applying directed energy in some of our systems. But it's all about speed in this business. One of the acronyms I learned as a young officer was called MATES, and that stood for Mission, Asset, Threat, Environment, and Speed. And speed is life in our business. So how fast we could come up with this technology, how we can apply it to do things faster, is really the idea that we need to understand.
With respect to the people in the Navy who conduct research and development, science and technology, the population's been shrinking since the mid-1990s. Do you see the trend reversing? And if you do, why? And to that end, What steps are being taken to attract and maintain a high-quality technical and professional workforce?
I don't know if the trend is yet reversed. I think the trend has stabilized, though, and that perhaps we're at that tipping point, not quite tipped over yet. And I think a lot of it has changed just due to commercial technology and social networks. More people seem to want to get into the game. They want to get into the service. The current young generation sees value in government service. They want to live a life of consequence. They understand that they have a voice in government. They see equal opportunity in our employment and working with us. So right now in government, we have a very aggressive hiring process going on. Recently, we went up to Detroit to hire some of the engineers up there that were looking at losing work. We're bringing in a lot of talent from Detroit and at the mid-level, because you just can't bring everybody in at the younger level. You got to bring some people in mid-level who have experience in other areas that can be applied to our systems. We had a major hiring event out in Corona, California, where we brought in lots of people there. Over 1,000 people attended, and the talent is just simply amazing. So I think we're starting to see that tipping point, and the trend's going to reverse itself.
Admiral, for those young system engineers and architects just completing their education who have an interest in the military or in public service in general, what advice would you give them in pursuing a career in public service or the military, in science and technology, or ideally all three?
Well, first of all, service doesn't just apply to the military, and I always like to remind people that you can serve in many different ways. I've said this before publicly, but I didn't even tell my own kids this. It's important to serve because you're giving back. But the great thing about government service is when you are in government service, you're living a life of consequence. The decisions you make will not just only impact the organization you're in, they will impact everybody in the nation and possibly the world. And even the young people that are making decisions can make decisions that are very consequential and very important to what this nation has to offer. So I always like to tell people that service is not about them. It's about giving back, and it's being a part of something bigger and feeling or being on a winning team. And that's purely an American viewpoint, but that's one of the things I feel in the United States of America, that we are a winning team and everybody wants to be a part of that. When you serve in government, you're guaranteed some sense of purpose, some sense of duty, a real sense of honor, and you get to follow the path of other great Americans that we studied in history. It's a very much exhilarating, and it's what Teddy Roosevelt spoke about when he spoke about the man in the arena. You're in there, you're doing something, you win some battles, you lose some battles, but you're in there doing the battle. You're not sitting on the sidelines watching what's going on. So that's what this kind of service offers you.
That's wonderful advice. I want to thank you for your time today, but more importantly, Kevin and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country.
Thank you very much. You know, it's really a great opportunity for me to be able to speak to your listening audience and explain what the Naval Surface Warfare Center is all about. We go back a long time. A lot of people think the Warfare Center is just one location in Dahlgren, but as I've mentioned in an earlier part of the broadcast, we're all over the country. And we're a legacy of the Navy from back in the 1850s and 1860s when we first created some of our proving grounds in Annapolis and Indian Head and Dahlgren. And then through the two great wars in the last century, it kind of got a lot larger and created these laboratories to the early 1990s. We actually created the warfare centers in 1992. And we created them to become more efficient and to reduce costs, to get our control around the total ownership costs. Even back in 1992, that was talked about. And when you look at the indicators of what we've accomplished between 1992 and today, our overhead costs in the warfare centers have gone down by 30%. Our productivity has increased by 30%. We have close to 20% more scientists and engineers per capita in our workforce. The cost, the hourly cost of labor is less today than it was just a few years ago, because there's so many efficiencies in what we're doing. We're getting more bang for the buck, more return on investment, less direct labor hours spent on overhead, more spent on actual labor. And that's because of the great ideas. Whoever was leading the Navy in 1992, when they said, let's create this warfare center enterprise, it was a good decision because the total ownership costs have come down as a result of them. So I like to be able to tell that story. We got a lot more work to do. We have a lot more efficiencies to find. But we have a very spirited and innovative workforce who are really the intellectual capital of the Navy, and they're out there doing their best every day, not just for the Navy today, but building the Navy of tomorrow.
An important mission. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Rear Admiral James Shannon, commander of the Naval Surface Warfare Center. My co-host has been Kevin Green, IBM's defense industry leader. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan. Thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.